Today's shiur begins a little more than halfway down our daf, 19 lines from the top. We continue with explanations of the Mishnah. We had featured different powers or rights that a father has with regard to his daughter. And here we have a qualification of that, v'eino oichel peros b'chayeha. If a woman, or a girl, of course we're talking about young women, young girls, in the home of their father, up till age 12 and a half, a ktana and a nara, if they happen to have inherited land from, let us say, a maternal grandfather, the girl's father has no rights to consume the fruit, the produce of that land. What happens, in fact, is the produce is sold, and some item that has longevity to it and value, and I would assume a hoped increased value even, is purchased for the girl that she can benefit from later when she reaches adulthood. Tonu Rabbonan. Before we begin the actual text, let us glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads Machlokes Tanoim. We have a Tanaic controversy, im gam hoav zakai lechol peros. Does, in fact, a father have a right to consume the fruits? The Mishnah took a stand, but we'll see additional opinions on that. And when we speak about the nichsei, the peros of the fruits of the daughter, it's nichsei bito shenoflu lo mitzad imo. It's the fruits, the benefit of property that she inherited from her mother's side of the family. We use the example, a maternal grandfather bequeathed property to his daughter's daughter, to his granddaughter. The Gemara, Ha'ov Eino Ochel Peros B'chai Bito. Then this is the opinion we saw in our Mishnah, that the father does not consume the profits from property that his daughter received. Reb Yossi Rebuta Omer Ha'av Ochel Peros B'chaye Bito. The father is entitled to the profits from the property that she received. B'mai Komifli, what's the underlying point of controversy? Tanakama Sovar Bishlamo Baal Tokinu Le Rabbonan Peri. I understand, says the Tanakama, that a husband has a right to eat the fruits from properties that a wife brings into a marriage. The imkain, if the baal, if the husband, would not be allowed to consume the fruits, mimna velo porek. He, in the event that his wife is taken captive, would have no incentive to redeem her. The husband would figure that, well, she has profits from her properties. Let those profits that I can't benefit from go toward redeeming her. Elo av, my iko lememar. What are you going to say about a father? Demimna velo porik, that a father wouldn't redeem his captive daughter. Belavochi porik lo. Even without the father benefiting from the fruits, a father will redeem his captive daughter. Verbiosi berbuta savar, and here we have an opinion that is quite interesting. He holds av nami mimna velo porik. A father also isn't going to be so quick to redeem his captive daughter if she has her own funds. Savar, he'll figure, kiso nikita iluya. Kiso is a pouch, like a wallet. It's figurative reference to money. She has her own money full of, her own pouch full of money. Or she has whatever was purchased for her, as the Tanakama would have suggested. Tezel v'tifrok nafsha, let her go and redeem herself. Now, the main point, I don't think you can see in the words, let us take a look at Rashi, who completes the picture. Kiso Nikita, Rashi, a little more than halfway down the Rashi column, he says, Kismo lemos yeshlo bisgula. She has a pouch full of money that's been set aside for, and skula is the that which is purchased, or the cash that's set aside, which has longevity, the cash that was received for the sale of the fruits. So she has that. Until now, I, the father, haven't benefited from it, according to the... This is, of course, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda speaking in terms of the Tanakhama's approach. Well, Ata, now, Tiftes Atzma, let her redeem herself. V'im Yechsar, Ani Lo Ashlim, and if there's... If the amount that she's accrued in her in those profits isn't sufficient for her redemption from captivity, well, I'm not going to make up the difference. So Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda is concerned that if the father does not get the benefit of those profits from the properties, the father likewise is not going to be so interested in redeeming his own daughter. And we elaborated a little bit toward the end of our previous show. I don't want to do it again, but the insight of the Shas, in our previous discussion, we spoke about the father's rights to items that his daughter finds. And the Gemara at the top of this Omid pointed out that the reason the father is entitled to that is Mishum Eva. And there we had spoken about the father is supporting his daughter, which he doesn't have to do by letter of the law. And if he won't receive her found items, if she finds some money in the street, if she doesn't give that to her father, that's going to develop Eva. Ill feelings, strain, contention between father and daughter, even though it's his own daughter. Whereas the Tanakhama had this seeming, we'll call this kind of an innocent sounding approach that of course a father will redeem his daughter. Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda says, well, when it comes to money, money might be something that is we'll say dearer to a person than anything else in his life, including his own flesh and blood, his own children. Take that into consideration, says Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda over here. And in fact, this theme you'll find throughout the Chazal. And I know we said this in our last year. I really didn't intend to dwell on it too much, but you think about it in life. How significant money is to so many people, that even though we encourage people to rise above that, to become more spiritual, to what they say, do with less, but nevertheless, the Shas, and this is the singular greatness of the Talmud, how it dives into the inner essence, the inner being of a person, I would say no other work does. And imagine we're dealing with the basis of all of Judaism, the basis of truth, the basis of spirituality, and here we are recognizing this sort of inner makeup of a human being. And hence, when it comes to money matters, and when it comes to someone else's money, one has to treat it very seriously, not to treat it lightly, and respect and everything else that goes along with that. And that's the message that I believe is being communicated in comments like this, that as we saw in the Gemara and the Rashi, that as Rashi said, if I don't have a right to the profits from her field, well, she's got her own money, and he's talking about his daughter. And in the context of this Gemara, we're talking about a young girl, and yet the father will say she's got her own funds, and if that's not enough to cover her redemption, and I can't benefit from her properties, so I'll let her rot away in captivity. Sounds a little harsh, maybe, but do think about it. Let us continue in the Gemara. Nises Yeser Olov Habal Shihu Ochel Peros. We're dealing with the opinion, of course, of Ishna that said the father is not entitled to the profits from properties that his daughter may have inherited. A husband, on the other hand, does have the right to consume the profits from fields, for properties that a wife brings into a marriage. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Gvias Toisefes Ksubo Kvar Mino Erisin. The collection, the right to collect the additional amounts that are written into a Ksuba. Additional amounts means your basic Ksuba provides for a woman to receive either 100 or 200 zuz upon the dissolution of the marriage. In one Mosaimona for a woman that was a widow and now remarried, or a sum of 200 zuz for a virgin who had, she's a virgin and never had been married, she would receive 200 zuz. What about extra monies, extra properties that are written into the ksuba? From what point would a woman be entitled to receive that? Technically speaking, the marriage, as we've spoken many, many times, is essentially a two-stage process. There's erusin, and then it could be several months later, it could be even up to a year later, then there is the nisuin. Nowadays, we don't really see that, because our practice is that the erusin and nisuin take place at the same time under the marriage canopy, as is familiar to many of you from being at weddings. The Gemara now is going to be interested in what about the ability to collect from the early stage, from the erusin stage, if the marriage comes to an end. Basically, and we've seen this before, that the ksuba generally is written prior to the nisuin. What happens if it's written out at much earlier? So now the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Kosav law, Peros, Ksus, Vekelim, She Yavo, Imo, Mibes, Oviha, Lebes, Baila. The father writes over to his daughter, he assigns to his daughter in written form, in writing, as a as part of her dowry, peros, fruit, ksus, garments, kalim, other vessels that she will be bringing from her father's house to her husband. And it's written in from the erusin, as the Rashi points out. These are different kinds of portables that the father wants to give to his daughter that she'll bring into her husband's house. And it's written, as Rashi says, Kosvan lo min erusin. He assigns it from the point that she enters the first stage of marriage. Mesa. And then she dies. The daughter dies. In other words, so the bride dies. Lo zocho habal bidvarim halalu. The husband is not entitled to these items. Mishum Rabbi Nosson Amru, in the name of Rabbi Nosson, it was said, zocho habal bidvarim halalu. The husband is entitled to these things. So now we have to analyze this machlokes. The structure that accompanies this gemara is featured on the side. A trapezoid or a volcano shape appears. It represents shnei shlavim, hatsa'ah u'dechiyasa. There are two stages. There's a suggestion and then a rejection. First stage, leimal b'plukta. The first stage is to suggest that the Tanakama and Rabbi Nosson parallel a machlokas between the Chachomim and Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah. And the second stage, which we'll see on the third line from the top of Amud Beis, where it says, no, everyone, that means the Tanakama and Rabbi Nosson, agree with the opinion of Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah. So within their agreeing with him, what then is the controversy between the Tanakama, the first opinion, and Rabbi Nosson? So now the Gemara. Lema Bepluto de Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah Barabonon Komifligi. Disnan. Now we present the Machlokas Tanoim. Nisarmalo o Nisgarsha. Take note of here we're dealing with the husband dies. In the source that we are trying to analyze, the Tanakam Reb Nosson, there it spoke about the woman, the wife dying. Here the husband dies. Bein min ha-nisuin, bein min ha-erusin, and note the dashed underlining is very significant. The husband died either from the erusin, from the nisuin stage, or even in a case he died from the erusin stage, it's the earlier stage of the marriage. Goiva es hakol. He is entitled to collect everything that appears in the ksuba. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, min ha-nesuin goy b'sakol, if the death is after they consummated their marriage, then he's entitled to collect everything. We made an error. We're talking about the woman collecting. We emphasized before that we're talking here about the man dying. So the Tanakhama says that when she becomes a widow, whether it's from the Nisuin stage or even from the Erusin stage, the lady is now a widow. She collects everything that's in the Ksuba. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, min ha-nesuin goy v'sakol, if he, the husband, died after they consummated their marriage, then she, the wife, the widow, collects everything. Min ho-erusin, if he died from the early stage of the marriage, then besula goy v'mosayim v'almona mona, then the virgin will collect the 200, and if she happened to be a widow previously, and this was a second marriage for her, she'll collect the 100. We connect, continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Shelo Kosav Lo Elo Almanas Lekonsa, the husband who had written in extra amounts for his wife, for her to receive upon his death, he wrote it only with the condition that he would have already consummated their marriage. Konsa, to take her in. Whereas that idea of Konsa applies only after Nisuin, not at the Erusin stage. So now we have two Tanaic sources, and one we want to superimpose one on the other. Laman diomar lo zocha, according to the opinion in the first source, the Tanakhama, that says that when she dies, the husband is not entitled to those items from the point of Erusin. That's Kerebi Elazar ben Azariah. That would parallel his opinion that from the point of Erusin, you see, there's things are highly limited. And Uman Omar Zocha, that would be Rebbe Nosson, who says that in his case where the woman died, the husband is entitled even from Erusin to all of the things that were assigned. That would then parallel the opinion of the Rabbonin. Okay, Mandomar Zocha Kirabonon. That would be like the Rabbonin, the Tanakhama of that appeared before Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, the first opinion in that particular source. The Gemara's response to this suggestion is, we're not going to say, like you just said, to set up the Tanakhama of Rabbi Nosson like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Nosson like the Rabbonin. The Rabbonin is the opinion, the Tanakhama, that appeared before Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in that source. Rather, de kule alma k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That means that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nosson in that particular source, they both agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So, man di omar lo zocha, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Nosson, who said that the husband is not entitled, when she dies, so the husband is not entitled, to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that's straightforward, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that says that during the Erusin time, so the rights of each one to the Ksuba are limited. Uman diomar zocha, Rabbi Nosson, who said that when the wife dies, when the wife dies from Erusin, the husband is yes entitled. Ad kan lo ka'omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who spoke about a limitation at the early stage of Erusin, that's elo mididei ledido. That's only with regard to things that the husband is adding to the ksuba. We should have maybe pointed out earlier that you have, on the one hand, a father adding things to the ksuba, the dowry that he assigns to his daughter when she goes into marriage, and we have the husband who also has a basic 200 zuz obligation or in a psula marriage, and then he may add things, and that was what the source was referring to when it said goyves hakol in the second source. So Rabbi Nosson, who when speaking about the woman dying, saying that the woman who dies from Erusin, the husband is entitled to everything, that and that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Rabbi Nosson would agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who spoke about a limitation. So the Gemara explains that Ad Kan Lokum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, until now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah speaks about limitation Ela Medidei Ledida. That's with regard to things that the husband adds to the basic ksuba in anticipation of giving over to his wife. Shelo kosav lo elo almanas lekons. When a husband writes, he inflates or expands, enlarges the ksuba. That is because he's doing so with the anticipation of it being, let's see, eventually received by a woman that he was machnis, that he with whom he consummated the marriage. He had never had intentions for a woman that he didn't have physical contact with, namely from the early Erusin stage. He never had intentions for her to receive that. Avol mididol didei, when it comes from items coming from her side, her father assigning to the girl, to the in her marriage, to bring in to the husband. Afil Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Moidi, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will concede, even he that had this limitation approach to the Erusin period, he will agree that the father was willing to have that husband receive things from the early stage, Demishum Ichtuni Hu. The purpose was to see to it that the daughter would enter a state of marriage, regardless of early stage, later stage, that she becomes a married person. V'ha ichtani lehu. And that was achieved at the Erusin stage. That you can say that at least he had the satisfaction of knowing that his daughter was considered married to a man. And with that feeling alone, that's enough to motivate the properties from her side being transferred to the husband, even though she died prior to the nisuin. Chayev b'mezonoseha, a husband is obligated to support his wife, to provide food for his wife. On the side, we have a nosei klali, a general topic heading. Machlokes tanoim. Behemshech ha'omud, we'll see later on this omud a Tanaic controversy. Im mezoinois v'chule, if different things that a husband is obligated in providing to provide to his wife, is it a takonas chachamim or odoraisa? Is it rabbinic or is it a Torah based obligation? The immediate topic heading, the nosei. Tiknu chayvos lebal tmuras hatovos shemekabel mishto. There are established, assuming of course you're dealing with rabbinic obligations, that these obligations are on a rabbinic level. So then we can say that the rabbis established various husband obligations toward his wife in exchange for various benefits that he receives from her. Again, you see that the Chazal are on a very down-to-earth level, as we elaborated on before, that as wonderful an idea as marriage is, and how it often is portrayed as an emotional bonding of love between two, there is more to it than that. There is the financial, the business aspect of things. There is a give and take element that is on a financial level, and it's obvious, I'm sure, to everyone listening how realistic that is. And we, the Chazal, as we're learning the Shas, are all too well aware of that, and things are spelled out in clear terms ahead of time. No surprises should arise if you're following the Chazal, the Torah method. Things are spelled out clearly. So we continue with the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Tiknu Mizoinoseh Tachas Maisi Yodeha Ukvurasa Tachas Ksubasa. They established the obligation of a husband to provide food support to his wife in exchange. Pachas means in exchange for ma'aseh, that any income she produces is transferred to the husband. Ukfurasa, and the obligation of a husband to bury his wife in the event that, of course, she dies before he does. So he has to see to it, he has to pay for all the expenditures in her burial. That is in exchange, tachas ksubasa, in exchange for the various items that we call the nidunya, the dowry that she brought in to the marriage from her side of things, from her father's house. Lefikach bal ochel peros. There's a phrase that is kind of disjointed. It says, and therefore the husband consumes the fruits of her properties. Peros mandekashmai. Who made any mention in this source about peros? Chisurei mechaser v'hachikotani. We realize that the source we just read was a bit abbreviated. Chisurei mechaser was abbreviated, and rather this is the way it is to be understood. Tiknu mizonos tachas maisiodel, that we already saw, and pirkoina, pirkona is redemption from captivity. Tachas peros, and here you see the reference to peros that we were looking for before, that the husband is obligated in the event that his wife is taken captive, he has to redeem her. He has to pay for her redemption, or ransom. And that is in exchange for the fact that he, the husband, benefits from the fruits of the profits from properties that she brings into the marriage. Ukfurasa tachas ksubasa, this we saw before, the obligation of husband to bury the wife in the event she dies before him. He has to pay for a burial in exchange for the fact that he receives the nidunya, the ksuba, those are the items that were written into the ksuba in her marriage to him. Lefikach baal ochel peros. My lefikach, the Gemara wants to know, what is the idea here of the therefore that was stated in this source? In other words, we redid the original source to show that there's the presence of peros in the source, which is benefit that he receives from her properties in exchange for his obligation to redeem her. So the Gemara explains, ma'u detema, the word lefikach indicates there's some causality here. So one would have thought, without this being spelled out, ma'u detema mechalo nichlinhu. Maybe it would have been better for the husband not to consume the profits from properties that she brings into the marriage. Anuchi nanchinhu. Let us leave them aside. De'im Cain, if the husband will consume the fruits, the profits from those properties, mim navalo parak, he'll, in the event that she's taken captive, he'll withhold himself, and he won't redeem her, he won't ransom her. Kamash malon deha adifa. So what the source is telling us, that this plan, this method is better. In other words, we should officially establish a relationship between his benefit of the peros in exchange for his obligation to redeem her. Zimnin de lo molo. There are times, and this we mentioned before in the Rashi with regard to father and daughter, it's the same thing over here. Sometimes the profits that her fields, her properties produced, are in fact not sufficient for, they don't cover the amount that they're demanding for her ransom. And since we have established as a rule that husband benefits from profits regardless of how much the profit is from her properties, he is to benefit from that. So that is a benefit that he receives in exchange for his redeeming her, regardless of the ransom. When I say regardless of the ransom amount, it means that even if the ransom amount is in fact more than he was profiting from her properties, nevertheless, the takona, the rule says that you're entitled to profit from her properties, whatever the amount is. And hence, he will redeem her, whatever the amount is, even if it exceeds the amount that he profited from her properties. Let's take a look at the Rashi. A little more than halfway down the Rashi commentary, the lo malu lo yehe beperos kedei pirkona. It might be that there aren't enough. There isn't enough value in the profits that he received from her fruits, from her profits, her property profits that he benefited from. It might not be enough kedei pirkona, enough to redeem her with vahashta ki achlinu. Now that he benefits from it, v'lo yadia kama have, v'lo yadia kama have porik lo midilei. When he consumes it and doesn't know how much there was, he will redeem her from his own resources. Da'achi tikun di'u ochil. That is in fact what we have established, that he will benefit. He's entitled to benefit. Bein rav bein ma'at. Whether it's a lot, whether it's a little, v'u porik. Call Kamadavin. He'll pay the ransom, whatever the amount is. The Gemara continues with a suggestion. The Epuch Ano. Why? Let us switch around in terms of the way we set up the relationship between benefits and obligations. Let us switch around the way we set things up, namely the Mizonos, the support for her, by way of a food support the husband is obligated to provide, that is in exchange for peros, the profits from properties that she brings into the marriage, and the obligation of redeeming her from captivity, that's in exchange for the maisi yodel, for her income from work she does. So why is it not set up like that? Omar Abaye. Abaye explains, Tiknu motsui le motsui visheno motsui lesheno motsui. The way things were established, and you might want to use a type of mnemonic or a memory device. It's more of an audio type device. The sounds of the letters mem mem mizonos mem is mizonos begins with a mem, maisa yodel mem also begin is the beginning of the word maisa yodel, and we saw peros and pirkona both beginning with a pay, so that helps to and likewise with regard to the ksuba and kvura. There it's a kuf and a chof, but the same initial sound. With regard to both words, the way we pronounce it at least, kvura and ksuba. So Rabbi explains that the mizonos maisiodea relationship and the pirkona peros relationship is that which is common is in exchange for that which is common. It's common for women to produce income through work, through efforts, maisiodaim, and it's common. Of course, on a daily basis, a person needs food, so that the obligation for a husband to provide food is in exchange for which is a common need, which is a frequent need, is in exchange for that which is common, namely the work income that the wife produces. Sh'eino motzi, that which is uncommon, the need for, or the obligation of him to redeem her from captivity. How often are wives of husbands taken into captivity? It's kind of an unusual thing, so he's obligated to redeem her in exchange for something that itself is rather uncommon, that a woman brings into a marriage properties that produce profits. That's relatively speaking uncommon, and hence the one in exchange for the other. Omar Rova, Hai Tana Sovar Mizoinois Midoraisa. The following Tanaic source holds that the husband's obligation to provide food support, to provide nutritional support to his wife, is an obligation that exists already from the Torah. On the side, we have a Nosei, a Machlokas Tanoim. Ech lefaresh sheruk susa v'inasa. The pasuk makes reference to a a type of marriage. And I don't want to get into the backgrounds, into the background of what the Torah is describing there, but it's describing a situation of a marriage. And it says in the Pasuk that Sheirok Susasa Ve'onasa, these three things that we're not going to translate immediately, these three things, Sheirok Susasa Ve'onasa Lo Yigra, he shall not deprive her of those things, of his, he shall not deprive his wife of those things. Up till now, you see we have a little arrow to the meter right-hand side of the Gemara, and there's some dashed underlining. Up till now, we've presented these things, mizonos, as something tiknu mizonos. So that means the rabbis established a husband's obligation to support his wife. So that indicates something rabbinic. Rava is telling, we have another opinion, another Tanaic opinion that says it's not something the rabbis established, but rather the Torah obligates a husband to provide food for his wife. Now we continue. Desanya. Sheira, we're again referring to the Pasuk, Sheira Ksusa V'Yoynosa, three words, Sheira, Elu Mizonos, that's a reference to food. V'cheinu Omer, V'asher Ochlu She'er Ami. So you see the word She'er in the context of Ochlu, of food. Ksusa, Kemashma'o, the word Ksusa is as it generally, as it sounds, its general meaning is clothing. And Oynosa, Zu Oyno. This is a reference to intimacy, to conjugal relations that are that a husband is obligated to provide to his wife. You see the word ta'ane, similar to the word ona, and it's in reference to there, in case it was a reference to Lavan and Yaakov, and Lavan referring to his daughters Rachel and Leah, that Lavan was talking to his son-in-law Yaakov Avinu about his concern that his daughters, let us say, receive the proper attention in this area. Rabbi Lazar Omer Sheira Zu Ona. Rabbi Lazar says the word Sheira is a reference to the issue of intimacy that a husband must provide. B'cheinu Omer Ish El Kol She'er Besoro Lo Sikrivu Legalos Erva. The pasuk is dealing with the prohibition of intimacy with those forbidden relatives. So you see, in the context of intimacy, the word She'er appearing. Ksusa kemashma, here they both agree that the word ksusa is a reference to clothing. Oino sa elu mizonos, and ona is a reference to the food obligation. V'cheinu omer, v'yancha, v'yar ivecha. And that pasuk is in the context of food, a reference to how the Almighty provided food for the Jews during their sojourn in the wilderness. But you see the word vayancha like the word ona in the context of food. The Tanaic source continues at the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We turn to Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer She'eiro Ksu. So you see that note the double underlining that we have over here. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going to deal with these words, but he darshens the words in pairs, Sheiro Ksusa, and then a few lines later he starts with the middle word Ksusa and continues Ksusa Vainasa. So now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Sheiro Ksusa Lefum Sheira, according to her age, Tain Ksusa, provide clothing for her. Shelo Yitain Law Lo Shel Yalda Lizakena. One should not give clothing that are worn by the youthful, by the young, to a wife who is elderly. Rashi gets into the descriptions of it, but they're different. Rashi says that the clothing of young women was broad, was wide, and there was more fabric, was heavier. And don't give that kind of wardrobe to a wife that's a zekena, that's older. It's hard for her to wear such clothing. For those shel zekena liyalda, and likewise, don't give to a yalda, to a young wife, women, clothing that are characteristic of older women. Ksusa v'oynosa, lefum oynosa ten ksusa. Not only in terms of age must a husband take into consideration, but also in terms of Clothing are also dependent on the season. Shelo yitain chadoshim b'mois hachama, v'lo shchokim b'mois hagshomim. In the Yemos HaChama, that's the hot season, a person should not provide clothing that are thick. It's again that would insulate the individual during the hot season. New clothing are warmer than worn clothing. So that don't give new type clothing to your wife during the hot season, and don't give worn out clothing, which are thinner and less insulatory than new clothing. Don't give the shchokim, the worn out type clothing, in the cold, the rainy season, the cold season, when she needs the heat. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we just saw, darshins the same pasuk with a different twist to it. We continue. Tony Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef states a Tanaic source, again focusing on the word from the pasuk She'ra, Zu Kiruv Basar. She'ra, this is a reference to intimacy. And in fact, we saw Rabbi Elazar said that She'ra Zu Ona. We saw this three lines from the bottom of Mem Zayin Mem Beis. And Rav Yosef would seem to go in the same direction, that Sheira has to do with intimacy. Kiruv Basar is a reference to intimacy. Shelo yinag bo minag parsayim, that a husband should not behave in the way of the Persians. Shemishamshin mitoseim biluvushayan. They engage in physical contact, in intimacy, in conjugal relations while fully clothed. And that's not the way, that's not the Torah way. Misayale l'Rav Huna, this source supports Rav Huna's approach. Yom Rav Huna, ha'oimer, a man who declares, e efshi elo ani bevigdi vehi bevigda, I cannot engage in intimacy with my wife other than if I am clothed and she is clothed. If a husband makes such a declaration, yotzi v'nosang suba, that's grounds for divorce, for him divorcing her and paying her that which is due to her in the ksubah.